Decisions, decisions, decisions. We all have to make decisions in life. And when Jesus lived on this earth, there were people that had to make decisions about Jesus. There were people that saw Jesus face to face, and they had to decide whether he was the Messiah or, in their minds, that he was not the Messiah. Jesus spent 3 years in public ministry, and in those 3 years of public ministry, people were faced on a daily basis when they saw Jesus to make a decision. Do they make a decision to hear his words or reject his words? Do they make a decision to follow him or not follow him? Do they make a decision to be a disciple or not be a disciple? Decisions, decisions, decisions. We all make decisions. On this Good Friday in Australia, many people are going to make decisions. Many people are going to rush out. I used to live in Sydney, and on Good Friday, many people will rush out to go to the fish markets. But they will ignore the fish maker. They will ignore the one who made the tasty fish, but they'll rush down to the fish markets. There was a man in the Bible who made a major decision about the Lord Jesus, and that was Judas. For a while, about 3 years, Judas made a decision to be in amongst the disciples of Jesus Christ, in amongst the followers of Jesus Christ. For 3 years, Judas decided, that's what I'm doing. Judas went, I believe, to the best Bible college ever. Imagine being in a Bible college where Jesus is your teacher, where Jesus teaches you for 3 years. But Judas also made another decision, which was a fatal decision for him, I believe, physically, and a fatal decision for him eternally. And Judas made a decision to take money instead of the Messiah. Judas made a decision to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And Matthew, in his gospel, records the last words of Judas. And they were words of regret. I have sinned, Matthew 27, verse 4, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. Matthew 27, verse 5, tells us the end of Judas, and he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Judas made a decision that he would be a disciple of Jesus for a while. Judas decided that money was more important in his life. And so he made a decision for money rather than the Messiah. And we see his sad ending. Leaders in the Jewish nation also made a decision about Jesus. Matthew 26, verse 59. Now the chief priests, the elders and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. They made a decision in regards to Jesus. They wanted false testimony. They wanted lies to be told against the Lord Jesus so that they could have him put to death. There was the Jewish high priest. He had to make a decision about Jesus. And if you look at Matthew 26, verse 63, a part of it says here, the high priest answered and said to him, he's talking here to Jesus, I put you under oath by the living God. Tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus said to him, it is as you said. Nevertheless, I say to you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his clothes, saying, he has spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have of witnesses? Look now, you have heard his blasphemy. So he's accusing Jesus of blasphemy. Verse 66. What do you think? They answered and said, "He is deserving of death." Then they spat in his face and beat him, and others struck him with the palms of their hands. And this high priest had the scriptures. He knew the Old Testament. He knew that the Messiah was going to come. If he'd read Isaiah, he would have known about the suffering servant. And this man that knew the scriptures, that is in the position of the high priest, makes a decision about Jesus. He decides to reject Jesus' testimony. Look at it again. "Tell us if you are the Christ," this is 63 of Matthew 26, "tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "It is as you said." Jesus was indicating that he was the Son of God. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. A decision for the high priest. Jesus acknowledged that he was the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. And this high priest, this religious fellow, had to make a decision. Well, he rejected the Lord Jesus. How sad. A religious man in a very significant position in the Jewish community rejects the Messiah that was before him. Very sad. Numbers of people, when Jesus in his last days, when he was in his last days and also before in his 3 years before of ministry, numbers of people were face to face with the living, loving Son of God, and they had to make a decision. They either received him or they rejected him. Now, there's another man, a Roman governor, Pilate. And Pilate had to make a decision. There was a convicted criminal, a murderer. His name was Barabbas. And Pilate was pressured to choose between releasing Barabbas or releasing the Lord Jesus. Luke 23, verse 18. "And they all cried out at once, saying, 'Away with this man and release to us Barabbas.'" So the crowd wanted Barabbas instead of Jesus. Pilate had to make a decision. The crowd had to make a decision. "Away with this man and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus again, called out to them. But they shouted, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Then he said to them the third time, 'Why, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go.' But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he should be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison, and he delivered Jesus to their will." Pilate was forced to make an unexpected decision. A decision either to release Jesus or to release a criminal, Barabbas. Pilate releases a man called Barabbas, a convicted criminal, a murderer. Pilate's unexpected decision allowed an innocent man, the Lord Jesus, to be put on the cross, and a man that was a criminal to be set free. You know, that day, Barabbas discovered substitution. I can just imagine he's in that Roman jail cell and he hears the footsteps of the Roman soldiers, and they've got clanging keys maybe on their side and they open the door, and perhaps he's been there for days or weeks, I'm not sure how long he would have been in that cell, and he's thinking, this is my final hour. They've come to get me. And the Roman soldiers, they open the door, and there is a terrified Barabbas, and they say to Barabbas, you're free. You're free. And he asks why. And they would say to him, the crowd chose Jesus of Nazareth to die instead of you. See that cross, Barabbas? There's three crosses on that hill. One was meant for you, but Jesus is taking it. Barabbas discovered substitution. And you know, at the centre of Christianity, we can think about that word, substitution. Substitution is very important for the Christian faith. It's very important that we understand that Jesus Christ made a substitutionary sacrifice for all of us who are guilty because of our sin. Isaiah 53 verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of us have gone astray. All of us are guilty because of our sin. But God the Father laid the iniquity, the sin of all of us on the person of the Lord Jesus when he died on the cross. The Bible speaks of substitution in the New Testament. 1 Peter 3 verse 18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. My three boys all love playing footy. And I used to play footy as well when I was young. And when I went to a football match, whether it was my own football match or later on and watched my boys playing football, there were times that I would hear the coach shout out this word, subs. You ever heard that word at the football match? Subs. What does it mean? Well, it means actually substitution. What's got to happen is a player that maybe is not doing too well, or a player that's tired, he's pulled off the field, and then a fresh player, one that's able to go in the game and put his heart in the game, is taking his place. He's put into that game. He becomes a substitution for the boy or perhaps the man playing football that is really weary and very tired. A substitution takes place. I remember my youngest son, I think it was, commenting on my football ability. And he figured out what position I played as a kid. He reckons that I was the reserve orange peeler when he saw my abilities. Well, no, I wasn't. I was a winger. They don't like the position of winger. Is winger football or soccer? Soccer. I still played a winger, I guess, in football. A substitution took place for us. You see, there's no way that we could get over the goal of heaven. There's no way we can make our way to heaven by our good works or anything that we do. A substitution needs to take place because we have sinned, we've gone astray, and the only substitution that can take away our sins is Jesus Christ. And that happened on the cross. God called subs on the cross. He made his only begotten Son a substitution for us, the innocent for the guilty. Jesus, who had never sinned, died on the cross for we who had sinned. Jesus was our substitution. Romans 5 verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Romans 5 8, but God commends his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We have the wonderful news of a substitution for us, the Holy Son of God, who paid for all our sins, past, present, and future, on the cross of Calvary. Pilate made a decision, and that was a decision to condemn the Lord Jesus. Matthew 27:24. Pilate, this is talking about Pilate, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person," or this innocent person. Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent, and yet Pilate condemned him. Pilate had been warned by his wife. His wife knew that Jesus was innocent, and Pilate disregarded her advice, and he condemned the Lord Jesus. I wonder if Pilate now, I wonder if he's washing his hands throughout all eternity, remembering that he condemned the sinless Son of God. If Pilate's in hell, he won't be able to wash hands with water, but I'm just wondering if he's going like this throughout all eternity. I condemned the sinless Son of God. You see, the crowd made a decision. The high priest made a decision. Pilate made a decision. Pilate's decision was favourable to Barabbas, because Barabbas had a substitute, and the substitute was the Lord Jesus. People make decisions all along about the Lord Jesus. What about you? Have you made a decision about Jesus Christ? And you might say, yes, I've made a decision for Jesus. Have you trusted the fact that Jesus was a substitutionary sacrifice for your sins and the sins of the whole world? I hope you've made that decision. I hope you've made the decision that it's not going to be my good works or my good life that's going to get me to heaven. It's only because I recognize the fact that I am guilty, Jesus is holy, and the Holy One substituted his life, sacrificed his life on the cross of Calvary so I can go free. Amazing grace. That's what we see at the cross of Calvary. People made decisions all along as Jesus ministered in Israel. They made decisions either for Jesus or against Jesus. They made decisions that they could condemn Jesus. You know, there are even people that made decisions to spit on Jesus. The Bible tells us that he was spat upon. The Bible tells us that he was physically assaulted. When people were confronted with the living, loving Son of God in their presence, some people made a decision to spit upon him and assault him. I believe people are still making those types of decisions about Jesus. You know, when people are assaulting people that are believers in Jesus Christ, when people are being persecuted all around the world because they love the Lord Jesus, they're actually persecuting Jesus. Jesus said this: "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own, yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you." All around the world, believers are being persecuted today. They're being spat upon, they're being tortured, they're being abused, or they're being sworn at all around the world because they love the Lord Jesus and they are representing Jesus on earth to people that reject him. Pilate's decision is voiced in Matthew 27:22. What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? You know, that's a decision that everyone in the world has got to make. What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? That's a decision for every person. It's a decision that people have got to make when they hear about the Lord Jesus and the great gospel that we have. What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? We see the wonderful fact that Jesus Christ was willing to be a substitution for you and I that were guilty. As we come together on this Good Friday, we see through the Word that Jesus went to the cross for each of us and for the sins of the entire world. And I guess the decision that we all need to make is, what will I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? Now, if you've decided that Jesus is the Saviour, that's wonderful. We in the Christian church, who are believers in Jesus Christ, we've made that decision. That's great. But you've also got to make another decision when you've trusted Jesus as Saviour. You've got to make a decision to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. Jesus called some followers and he said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." And the Bible says they immediately left their nets and followed him. If you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you are called to be an ambassador, you are called to be a witness, and you are also called to be a fisher of men. Here's a question. How many people have you thought of inviting to an Easter service? I sent some texts out inviting people to come to this service. I'll send texts out to invite people to come to our Easter Sunday service. At Judy's instigation yesterday, we were out putting tracts in letterboxes that had the time of our services here. How many people would you have invited to an Easter service? You see, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus, you are to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus, and you are to be an ambassador, you are to be a witness, and you are to be a fisher of men, a person that actually looks around to see people that do not know Jesus and desire to bring them into his kingdom. We are called to come to Christ and acknowledge the Lord Jesus as Saviour, but we are also called to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And if you're a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you are to be a learner, you're to be learning the scriptures, but also you are to be involved in reaching others for the Lord Jesus Christ. We had an evangelism conference here the other week. It was put on radio, and so I would think that thousands and thousands of people around Newcastle heard about our evangelism conference. It was a great conference. Some of the speakers spoke very well. And I know people have all got different reasons why they didn't come. But it was sad to see about 20 people turn up from our church. It was sad to see about 60-odd people from the entire community of Newcastle to come here and to learn about evangelism. That's what it was announced. It was an evangelism conference, and we were asking people to come so that they could learn about evangelism, because being a disciple of Jesus, evangelism is intricately connected to it. We all have to make decisions. I'm afraid, though, that we are living in the lukewarm age for believers. Jesus, when he gave a description of the last day's church in Revelation chapter 3, he described the church as lukewarm. "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I'm rich, have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind and naked." This is the last day's church, I believe, that Jesus is describing. And he says they're wealthy. If you've got a roof over your head, food in the fridge, some money in the pocket. You are in the top wealthiest people on this planet. There are people all over the world that don't know where their next meal's going to come from. There are people all over the world that don't have a roof over their head. Jesus describes the last day's church as a lukewarm church, as a rich church, and yet they're poor, miserable, blind, and naked. And Jesus says this, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent." Decisions, decisions, decisions. People had to make decisions. When they saw the living Lord Jesus in their presence, they had to make a decision. Do I receive him or do I reject him? Same today. We've got to make that decision. Do I receive Jesus? Do I reject him? Those that receive the Lord Jesus then have to make another decision. Do I follow him? Or do I follow me? Do I follow what I want to do? Or do I follow what Jesus wants me to do? Do I become a disciple? Do I become a pew sitter? Or do I become a person that is a fisher of men and women and boys and girls? Decisions, decisions, decisions. You can either be a lukewarm Christian or you can be a believer that's on fire for the Lord Jesus. The time to follow Jesus and be his disciple is now here on this earth. I have no opportunities to be a witness to the unsaved in heaven because there are no unsaved in heaven. The time is now. I liked Bill's sermon he preached the other week, and he titled his sermon, "Your Final Exam." I thought that was a great title, because all of us have a final exam. The unsaved will stand before the great white throne judgment, and they will be examined before God and sentenced. The saved will stand before the bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll stand and we'll give an account for our life. And at the judgment seat of Christ, it's not for salvation, it's for reward. We will be rewarded. Paul reminded the church, "For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, for it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God.' So then each of us shall give account of himself to God." All of us have got a final exam. And if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus, Jesus Christ himself, the man Pilate stood before and rejected. The man that the high priest stood before and rejected. The man that stood before the crowd and was rejected. We're all going to stand before Jesus, the same Lord Jesus, and we're going to give an account for our lives. Decisions, decisions, decisions. The most important decision you will make is whether you receive or reject the Lord Jesus. And then after you've made that decision as a believer, if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, the next most important decision you make is to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son to come to this earth, that he revealed the face of God to humanity. We thank you that he acknowledged that he was the Christ, that he was the Son of the living God. And Father, because of Jesus' visitation to this earth and his crucifixion on the cross, we can have eternal life if we trust that he was the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. Lord, help us to make a decision here this morning. If we don't know Jesus as Saviour, help us to understand that our only way to eternal life is to have faith in him and what he did on the cross for us in dying for our sins. Lord, if we're believers, help us to make the decision to be profitable disciples, to win others for the Lord Jesus, to use our time, our talents and our treasures for his glory in thankfulness for what he's done for us. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Graham's going to lead us in our last hymn. Our last hymn is Amazing Grace. But before we sing that, Graham is going to ask us a question through a song. Thank you.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Were you there when he rose up from the grave? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when he rose up from the grave?